A few months ago, we discovered someone on social media who was holding a full planche for 10 seconds, who was doing full front lever, and this guy wasn't the ordinary calisthenics guy. He was over 2 meters tall and over 100 kg heavy. Extreme height, extreme weight, extreme aesthetics, this meant we needed to do this interview. I'm extremely happy to be able to present you today the 50th episode of the Athlete Insider podcast with a really special guest, a special episode. Jack was kind enough to talk about his workout advice, his planche advice, how to select a coach, and how to reach your goals quicker.
It's not perfect for him, his legs are bent.
I say, you're right. It's right.
Okay. Again, we provide all the details and all the chapters for the stuff that we talk about, so you can select the part that is interesting for you. Feel free to watch it till the end because there are a lot of interesting things in it. Enjoy and keep growing, guys.
You gorillas, welcome to the Athlete Insider podcast by Gor Nation. My name is Phil, and today's episode is a special episode with a special guest, with a guest that is inspiring the calisthenics community with his extreme statics. And it's not only that he does full planche and front lever, but he is like, he has a special physique, let's say. And with his 2 meters, 2 centimeters, and 103 kg, I'm really happy to welcome you to the show from Italy, Jack Vinati.
Hello, everybody.
Jack, so I'm happy that you fit into the camera, which is like you already look huge, huge on camera. This is really like, it's a real pleasure to talk with you and to do this interview. So we received a lot of questions from the community. But first of all, yeah, maybe for the US listeners, you're 6'7", I guess.
6'7" tall and yes. 225 pounds.
Yes, that's insane. So, yeah, do you want to kick off presenting yourself? Who are you? What do you do?
Yeah. Hello, everybody. My name is Giacomo Vinati, but everybody calls me Jack. Yeah, this reminds me the Daft Punk meme. Yeah, it's funny. I'm a software engineer and a sort of calisthenics athlete. I said sort because I cannot be a real athlete until I participate in a competition. I played basketball for 11 years. I was also a professional one, but at the age of 22, I quit due to a crossed and collateral ligaments knee injury. And from there, I started going to the gym for 3-4 years until I discovered calisthenics.
Wow. Basketball. That's something we received some questions. Yeah, why don't you play basketball with your height? But you already did. you already crossed that chapter.
And I've already quit.
Insane. Did your career in basketball bring you something for calisthenics, or is it a completely different thing?
I think it's completely different. Yeah, completely.
Okay, so not even mindset things or like the competitive attitude that you.
For the mental competition. Yeah, I can say, yeah, I agree. But it's not a physical. It's a totally different sport.
True.
So I had to start from scratch.
Yeah, I can imagine. And have you been that massive already playing basketball, or did you start eating more when you started your workout?
Maybe I started eating more when I started doing calisthenics, but not too much more than before. It was almost the same, more or less.
Okay. Cool. Then, let's jump into your beginnings with calisthenics, with the static workout. Let us know, how did you start with the sport? How were your beginnings? Why did you start with calisthenics and not with the typical gym stuff?
Okay. I remember three and a half years ago, a video called Calisthenics Street Workout appeared on my YouTube home, and it had millions of views. And I had never heard this name, calisthenics, and I was intrigued about it. So I watched it and was amazed by the skills of this athlete. It was Frank Medrano, who did the front lever, dragon flag, and stand push-ups, one-arm pull-ups. And I thought, cool, I want to do it too. And so I started looking for coaches in my city, but I couldn't find anyone. And at the same time, I remember many told me that I was too tall and too heavy for this sport and that I would never make it. So I just wanted to prove to everyone that they were wrong and that even someone 2 meters tall and 100 kilo weight could be able to do skill. So it has become a challenge against everyone and above all against myself.
Well, there you already like said so many valuable and interesting things. So first of all, you directly looked for a coach, right? Did this idea come from? Because most of the calisthenics people, they start training, they look up tutorials, they try by themselves.
Yeah, because I started maybe I tried for 2-3 months to train. Just watching the YouTube videos, but nothing changed, nothing. So one of my friends told me, I remember, there is a really good coach in Verona, is a city, is 1 hour far from here. And so I text him. And at first he said the same thing. No, you cannot do it. You're too tall, you're too heavy. And I said, please, let me show you for maybe 2, 3, 4 months. Follow me and I will show you that maybe I can prove you're wrong.
Okay. So your goal was always statics, or did you start with like the goal of a muscle up or some reps?
It was more a thing of skills. More than aesthetic or body. So I wanted to, I was impressed by the full plash. The full plash, I think it's my favorite skill. And I said, I want to do that.
Well, a lot of people told you that you aren't able to do that. Like even your coach says, no, I won't coach you. You're like too big, too tall at first, of course. So what did that make with you? Like what were your thoughts? Like, did you always have this contrary thinking that you thought, yeah, I will prove you.
I always thought I don't mind. I don't mind what other people thought.
Sure. And did you feel that it was heavier? Like, you don't have the comparison. I think the last time you were 1.50 meters, it was being 10 years old or something. So you don't have the comparison.
Are you meaning at the beginning or in general? At the beginning, I remember definitely. That the first few months, I found it hard. Just hang on the bar for more than 20 seconds. Wow. And I remember that my hands and forearms always hurt. It was difficult and not very motivating at the beginning because I felt like a little dumb doing trivial exercises such as plank on the ground or hollow position. And I always thought I'd never make it or it will take me forever to reach just one skill. But when I start achieving my first skills, just like the front lever, I began to understand what calisthenics is. So it's completely different sport from the others. So let me explain. It's not like bodybuilding or powerlifting where no attention is paid to joint mobility. And in calisthenics, the technique is even more important because you almost always work with your whole body when you perform a skill. So there must be a unique synergy. You have to feel your body completely. For example, when you do the handstand, it's not easy. You have to understand how to feel, how the feet are positioned, the shoulder, the retroversion of the pelvis, thinking about pushing up against the ground with shoulders. And all this must be done at the same time. This is why I think it's more difficult and more satisfying or rewarding than other sports. It's like becoming a sort of accelerometer and gyroscope at the same time. You have to know the position of each part of your body in space.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit strange.
Yeah. So, it wasn't easy in the beginning. So did you always ever had the thoughts of quitting or stopping?
I never thought about giving up. And if I were able to achieve all the skills that I like and participate in some competition, maybe two or three, maybe I could dedicate myself to pure strength exercise and give up with the skill. I don't know, maybe weighted dips, weighted pull-ups, deadlifts, and squat. I don't know.
Yeah. And is your goal to compete in the near future or in the future?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. But I think it's very hard because there are no weight categories at all. Mm-hmm. And I think I would never win a competition. But I don't mind.
So you would also compete just for the experience and...
Just for fun. Yeah, for saying I did it. I prove everybody that I did it.
Yeah. And I imagine this situation, you competing and like everybody just, whoa. Like, I think it would be priceless to see all the faces of the people seeing that it's possible and that their excuse of weight or height isn't right. And I think like you're inspiring a lot of athletes out there, because especially the tall athletes are feeling a lot of, like, we receive a lot of questions and comments and messages of tall athletes who are like not discouraged, but like they need more motivation than small athletes because they have it harder.
Yeah, because I never thought at the word impossible, but more difficult to achieve. For example, an average athlete takes the full plunge maybe in a few months. Instead, it took me over 2 years. Sometimes it's frustrating, but my motto is slowly but surely. So never be in a hurry, even if the improvements are tiny. I also want to add a little truth, because very often I read comments from people who say that tall person makes the same effort as shorter one. And it's a complete lie. So it's a physics question. So let's take a little physics lesson. Mm-hmm. If you have longer levers, a larger weight force than normal acts on them. And this is a double disadvantage. Firstly, with longer levers, it's more difficult to exert an higher force due to the fact that the arm is much longer than usual. And therefore, it would be not suitable to act with it. It's also a matter of momentum. And you can find a different physics formula on just searching or surfing on the web. And secondly, more weight means to exert a larger force in order to front it. So my body usually is not anatomically ready to front this kind of effort, for example, for the full plunge or front lever pull-ups. So I need to be stronger with the respect to thinner or shorter guys in order to achieve a certain movement or the same movement. So it's also a matter of range of movement. If you have longer arms, then the path that you need to cover during all the execution of the movement is larger than normal. This is even worse than weighting more than normal, because scientifically, a ROM deficit is harder than a weight increase. So ROM is much bigger for tall guys than the short one. And also a linear increase in height corresponds not to a linear increase in force, but a cubic one to be generated, a cubic increase in the force to be generated for to perform the same movement. Yeah, so this is physics, these are facts. Yeah. Because I always read comments like that, and I think they're wrong.
Yeah, it's good that you point this out. And you seem like somebody who is like really scientifically approaching his mm-hmm. training and mm-hmm. reading a lot and learning a lot about the sport. Is that true?
Yeah, so I discussed a lot of time with one of my friends, Chao White, and he's a nuclear physicist, and he does calisthenics. So we talked about a lot of times about the weight disadvantage and the lever disadvantage.
In your trainings, like, what is the limiting factor? Do you have like especially one body part that you always feel that this is the part where it's hardest? I can imagine, for example, the wrists have to be extremely strong if you have like such a crazy angle plus that weight that is pushing.
No, I think the worst one is the long head of biceps is a muscle inside here near the shoulder, and I think is the most stressed in the planche, straddle half full planche or straddle planche push-ups, and this is the worst one. No, I've never had problems on wrists or forearms. Never.
Well, good for you.
That's because cool. I work a lot with joint mobility, because okay. I think it's one of the most important thing in this sport.
True. In general, do you do a lot of mobility work?
Yeah, usually 10 to 15 minutes before the workout and 10 to 20 minutes after the workout.
Every time?
Yeah, every time.
Wow.
Every time. I know it's boring. It's really, really boring, but I think it's the most important thing.
Well, that's good to know. What was the first skill that you learned? Let's jump back to your beginnings.
The first skill, my first real skill was the front lever. It took me, if I remember, 4-5 months to get my first seconds in full. By real, I mean a skill that you can see in competition, because I remember, for example, I used to do the dragon flag before the front lever, but it helped me a lot with the front lever too. That's it. It's my first one. This was.
Well, I also saw when I checked your Instagram profile, you also, like in the beginning, you posted front lever mostly, and then it switched more and more to the planche. So I already expected
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And in general, are you more a push person or a pull person from your genetics? And
I'm stronger in pull exercises, but I prefer the push ones.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. So do you think you can switch the focus? Like, do you think one day you will be stronger in push movements because of your...
I don't know. I think I'm stronger in pulls due to my genetics and my body structure. But I don't know. I struggle every time with a push one.
Okay. Then let's jump into the question. People asked, how long did it take from the first workout ever, from the first calisthenics workout ever to the first straddle planche? Can you take us to this journey?
So it took me from zero to the first straddle. If I remember correctly, 1.5 years. And I mean the first 2 seconds of straddle planche. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, it was October, November of 2019. Then I had an exponential improvement in March 2020, so last year, and I did my first 10 seconds in straddle planche. And after my 10 seconds of straddle planche, I started training the half lay and the full lay planche. These two exercises are really tough because they require a lot of hip mobility and a lot of glute activation. And I hold my first full plunge from lean position, starting from lean position, towards the end of May of last year. Then during the last summer, I had a stalemate, if it's correct, I don't know. And in December, I did my first 5 seconds in full plunge. And then in March, so almost 2 months ago, my first 10 seconds in full plunge. I know in the video that I put with my 10 seconds, it's the form is not 100% correct. I should stretch my legs, but I'm always afraid of falling on my face. And so I unconsciously keep them a little bent.
The bent legs, was it during the full plunge, what you just said?
The full plunge, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If you can see in the video, my legs are not completely stretched, are a little bit bent.
Okay. Do you think it's good to just show the perfect form? Like
I usually don't post too much on social because I don't like to show every micro improvement that I can achieve maybe every week or every month. I want to show when I achieve a skill, maybe at 90%. So it's not completely correct, but I think maybe it's okay.
Yeah. And like when somebody's writes, I don't know, it's not perfect for him, his legs are bent.
Yeah, I say, you're right. Yeah. I also wrote it down on the description of my video.
Okay. So for you, it's not like an offense or something. It's just...
No, it's right. Okay. It's a compliment.
Okay. Cool. How does your workout look like today? Like your schedule for the week, how is your workout structured during the week?
Okay. I'm training 5 times a week right now. From the first lockdown, due to the COVID-19, I've always trained at home. And in November, my brother built for me an entire tailor-made iron structure. For example, the bar are 2.75 meters tall and with also larger diameters, because it's really difficult for me to use structures that are in the parks. For example, the fixed parallels are too narrow for me. Mm-hmm. And to get back to what I was talking about, my workouts are divided into three workouts where I work full plunge to improve seconds and the technique, straddle plunge push-ups, straddle plunge press, and one-arm pull-ups. In the other two workouts, front lever pull-ups, handstand push-ups, and legs. And in all workouts, as I said before, I do a lot of joint mobility before and after. And usually my schedule changes every month, where at the end of each one, I have to test my maximum, which are used by my coach to calibrate the next schedule.
Wow, these are a lot of skills, like front lever pull-ups, straddle push-ups, one-arm pull-ups. Like you have a lot of skills in your training. The focus is, do you have like a few moves that skills that are the focus and the rest is benefit?
For example, this month, the main focus is on the full plunge, because maybe I can have transfer to the straddle plunge push-ups. In fact, yes, I could almost close my first straddle plunge press yesterday.
Wow.
I still need 20 degrees more to get to close it.
Wow, that's cool. And do you feel that the biceps strength that you gain through one-arm pull-ups or front lever pull-ups, does it also help this bicep strength for the plunge?
No, I think are different movements, Because when I do the one-arm pull-ups, I use a lot of lats in the first part, mm-hmm. and in the last one, in the final part, because I'm training it on the ring, not on the bar, because on the ring is more difficult because you have to touch the ring with your chest. And in the last movement, in the last part, you work a lot with your tricep.
Okay. And can you go more into depth into your workout? Like, how much rest do you do? Do you always do like 100% in every workout, or like at how much percent?
No, my schedule is part of a bigger sort of plan. So I maybe three months ago. I started with 65% of intensity. Then the next month, the main exercises are different, are focused, are always focused for the same skills, for full planche, planche straddle, push-ups, one-arm pull-up. But the intensity increase every month, 65%, 75%, 85%. For example, 2 weeks ago, I was at my, I did my last week of the last schedule, and I was at 90%. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Do you also do deload weeks or deload trainings?
Yeah. For example, my schedule is 3 weeks of full intense work. And the fourth one is like an active deload with the last 3 days where I test my maximum. For example, max hold in full planche, max reps of front lever pull ups, or the one arm pull up and goes on,
okay. et cetera. And what in this training schedule is your advice to somebody who wants to learn the planche? Because we received, like, as you can imagine, a lot of questions. What's his best advice for the planche? What are his planche secrets? Like, what in general, if you have to tell something, what gave you the best results for planche?
Okay. First and most important thing, as I mentioned before, working on joint mobility, because the planche for tall athletes is very stressful in terms of muscles and tendons of the biceps and shoulders. Second advice, don't be in a hurry. Most of the times tall people have to do much more preparatory exercise to reach a skill, especially for the planche. For example, I didn't go straight from straddle planche to full planche, but I have to work on half lay, full lay, and also with the dream machine that I think is the equipment that helped me the most.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you know what the dream machine is?
Maybe for the people who don't know it, it's if you want to explain it.
Yeah, the dream machine is it's an equipment that is used by professional gymnasts. I wear a climbing harness to which I hook two ropes, and that pass through a rotating pulley attached to the bar. And then the ropes are connecting on the other side to the weights. I built it by myself, and I think it's the most useful piece of equipment for tall athletes, because you can scale the weight precisely without having to use hundreds of different loop bands. Furthermore, loop bands have a disadvantage that they degrade over the time, no longer holding the same weight indicate. And secondly, in dynamic exercises, for example, front lever pull-ups, planche push-ups, one-arm pull-ups, you never know how much weight you're unloading when the loop band is not in its maximum extension. So they are useful, but they have their own limits.
Wow, that's interesting. And so I didn't know that you train also a lot in rings. Did you feel that the ring training helped you a lot for the planche, like the stability that you gained in rings?
No, rings helped me a lot for the one-arm pull-up. because I've always tried full planche on the parallettes.
Okay.
Never on the rings. I think it's more difficult.
Ah, okay. So you have a dream machines, not with rings, but with parallettes.
No, no, no. The rings are, I can use my dream machine also because they are attached one to the climbing harness, mm-hmm. and the other side to the weights. Mm-hmm. I can also switch and hook the two ropes on the switch harness and then to the rings. So it's a real dream machine. Okay. This is it's a little bit different. So if I hook the two ropes to the weights, I can scale in a precise way. And I can do full planche, push-ups, planche press, one-arm pull-up, also front lever pull-ups.
Oh, makes sense. Sounds good. So these are the reasons that you think that you learned the planche, and maybe some smaller athletes or like athletes who have like even a better genetics mm-hmm. does it also have something to do with the thing that you said that you have to have patience, you know, like you that you don't rush, like what are the maybe also the mental things behind learning the planche?
Honestly, I don't know how other athletes train, and mm-hmm. I can't say anything about it, but I can say that I reached the planche mainly thanks to my coach, Alessandro, that I say, hi, ciao, Alessandro. if it hadn't been for him, now I would have already changed sport, maybe. Yeah.
Wow. That's a quote. So for you, it's you would always would you recommend to everyone picking a coach and if he wants to achieve big things in calisthenics?
Yeah, because I think for tall athletes like me, it's quite impossible to follow the YouTube videos. I think they are a sort of quick clickbait, if you know what I mean, mm-hmm. because I think there are no general routines that apply to everyone. Most likely the one that worked for me may not work for the others. So it's too subjective as sport. And I think there is no universal method that applies to everyone. Maybe it can work for shorter and lighter athletes, but it will definitely never work for taller and heavier ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you think like YouTube is good for maybe general information about the sport, like general stuff, but if the listeners want to have like really information for themselves and like a coach that can look into one's body and like one's performance, etc., and analyze like movement patterns, etc., it's like smarter to have a coach.
Definitely.
The question that you already answered a little bit is that people asked if you work on your legs. So is it possible to have this weight and this height that you have and work on legs while having the full planche? This is a question that is quite interesting. So yeah, tell us your opinion about leg training.
Yeah. Yes, I train them once a week, but the gyms have closed since the last October due to COVID-19. And the only exercise I can do is Bulgarian squats with dumbbells. And I think, it's partially a disadvantage, but also an advantage work on legs with calisthenics. Also, if you're a tall athlete, let me explain better. A disadvantage because having two heavy legs would not allow me to be able to do almost any skill. If I train my legs seriously, maybe 2, 3, 4 times a week, I will weigh 110, 150 kilos, and no more. You know, have you ever watched the Johnny Bravo cartoon in your life?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it was a sort of cartoon when this guy is like has a upside down triangle shape, just like me. Okay. So my body has always been like that, despite having played basketball for 11 years. So it's my constitution, it's genetic. But training them is also an advantage, because when you do the planche, you need to have strength in the lower back and the gluteus. You have to be to feel this synergy with the whole body. When you work, working on legs helps in the planche press. And because it requires a lot of activation of glutes and also for the straddle one, active opening of the legs. Yeah, and that's it.
Okay.
So train the legs, but not too much.
Does it also help to train in the right rep range, like to not build massive legs, but only strong legs?
Yeah, I just train in a normal way, and my goal is not to have huge and big legs, because I think I would not reach a huge mass. My genetic is is different.
True, but how many reps do you do per set approximately? Is it 5 or is it 15?
I made four or five sets, and I repeated 3-4 times because it's the only exercise I can do at home, with 10 to 12 reps.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Do you want to tell us more about your day? Like besides the workout, like as you're also with your profession as a software engineer, how does your day look like?
I usually wake up at 7 a.m., have breakfast, go to work. At about 5:30 p.m., I start training. And then in the evening, I either study or watch videos on different programming languages or frameworks. Yeah, I'm a nerd. And since a month to now, I've been reading a very interesting book about machine learning in Python that uses Keras, TensorFlow, and Scikit libraries. And sometimes in the evening, maybe before going to sleep, I like to watch videos about astrophysics and quantum mechanics. So I have no special routines.
Okay. But you're somebody who likes to learn and likes to read and learn new stuff, right?
Yeah.
That's cool. Nice. Let's talk about your nutrition. How do you eat? How important do you think is food for your performance?
I don't follow a particular diet. I never weigh what I eat, but I always try to eat healthy and many times a day, maybe 6-7 times a day. For example, in the morning, I eat tons of Greek yogurt and with the whole grains. At 10 p.m., I eat again Greek yogurt again. And for lunch, I usually have pasta or basmati rice and chicken or other kind of meat. And after training, I drink a protein shake. And for dinner, I have fish and vegetables. And before going to sleep, I eat some protein source without carbohydrates and fats. So I don't always eat so many times a day. It also depends on the commitments between work and university. But on weekends, I usually keep one day when I can eat what I want.
Cool. And what is your favorite food on a cheat day?
Burgers.
Nice.
Yeah, tons of burgers.
Do you think the protein is really important for your performance, or is it because you for me it sounded like you had like fish, meat, like Greek yogurt. You in every meal you had protein. How important do you think it is for your performance?
I think the diet is really important, along with sleeping at least 6 to 7 hours a night. But I can say that when I eat badly, I feel a decline in performance, especially in pushing exercises. So, for example, if I eat too much carbs before the workout, I feel less strength, and that's it.
How do you think about supplements?
Usually, after training, I have a protein shaker and eat a banana. That's it. Nothing more or nothing less. Sometimes, when I feel very, very tired, I take the BCAA and stop.
Okay. So no creatine? Did you ever take
it? No, never.
Okay. Well, interesting. Let's talk about injuries. What injuries did you have on the way until now?
Yeah, Tocaferro. Fortunately, no. However, 2 years ago, I got a very deep contracture of the rhomboid on my back, which lasted two months. I no longer felt strength in any exercise. And I remember that at the time I was doing the rope climbs. Mm-hmm. And they're very, very tough. And I couldn't do them anymore. Fortunately, a very good osteopathy with the use of agotherapy with electrodes was able in a short time to get me through the contractor. So this is the only injury.
Okay. So like to prevent injuries, as you said, mobility is important.
Yeah.
How important is warm-up?
The warm-up, for example, it depends on the workout. For example, if I have one arm pull-up or any kind of exercise like planche or planche push-ups or planche press, I do five, six minutes of warm up. So the warm up is for me the basic, really basic exercises. For example, I do tuck planche or advanced planche or tuck planche push ups. Or maybe 10 normal pull-ups on the bar, but very slowly, and that's it. I think it's more important the joint mobility.
So you enter the training room, and then you start with your joint mobility?
Yeah, first joint mobility, and then the warm-up, and then I start the workout.
Okay. And then for what time span approximately?
2.5 hours.
2.5 hours?
Time. Yeah.
Well, that's
five
long.
Times a week. Yeah.
And then afterwards, again, 10 to 15 minutes of joint mobility.
No,
right?
No. It's a 2.5 hour with the joint mobility.
Okay.
Before and after.
Cool. And what is your opinion on cardio? Does it help you for?
When I quit with basketball, I think I've never do it again. No cardio, no circuits, nothing.
Wow.
No, because I don't do endurance exercises. I only strength and so skills, and that's it.
Somebody asked also about your weighted numbers. Do you sometimes do weighted training with additional weight?
I'm not strong on weighted exercises, but I never do. I've never did a specific maximum strength or weighted training. And honestly, as far as dips for the dips are concerned, I think it's a little bit dangerous movement. I'm talking about dips to do with high loads, because I've seen a lot of people get hurt trying to lift from 100 to 200% of their weight in the dips. And so I've never gone any further. So for example, my maximum with weighted pull-ups is 80 kilos. And for the dips is almost 90.
Oh.
Yeah, no. It's very low.
Yeah,
for the dips is low.
Still, it's an impressive number, like in my opinion. But like 80 kg in pull, that's quite strong. That's cool.
But I prefer the skill.
Yeah, I know. That's good. Perfect. Maybe to sum up all the experience that you now gathered in calisthenics, maybe you want to sum up, like, what are the three main things that you want to tell the listeners to progress quicker or like to have more results in calisthenics?
Yeah. Having a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be in a hurry. So like my motto, slowly but surely. Mm-hmm. And always work on joint mobility.
Well, that's cool. So if I'm the listener now and I want to go out and look for a coach, what's the most important thing that I have to look out for a coach? Is it the personal relation that is good? Or short interruption here, Jack asked us to put a detailed reply to this question into this interview, so he sent us an audio. Enjoy.
I think it's very important to be followed by a competent person who demonstrates what he has done and who proves to have had experience and results on extremely wide audience, for example, tall people, because in this way, you are more likely to fall into that case. Furthermore, it's significant if he has trained in related disciplines such as artistic gymnastics or not. An athlete who has grown up in a recognized sport like gymnastics is more likely to teach calisthenics best, because in turn they have been followed by coaches who have been trained, for example, by National Olympic Committee, and so they have a certain qualification and have undergone school of indoctrination. The person thus inherits a certain method, working method. An athlete who only grew up exclusively in the park is likely to have trained randomly, and training others only as he trained, it will only be good for people identical to him. And that's it.
Interesting. Yeah, I can understand where you're going. What can we expect from you in the future? What are your goals right now? What's the next YouTube upload which will blow everyone away?
Okay. The first goal is to achieve a lot of skills. For example, take the straddle planche press, the full planche press. It's very tough. Being able to do 8 to 10 reps of front lever pull-ups. For now I can do it on just three, only three. There is a video on YouTube that uploaded my coach. And also the one end front lever is super cool. Or handstand push-ups, full planche push-ups, iron cross, ring iron cross, and the festo. I also like the Maltese, but I think it's out of reach for me. I think it's too dangerous for my height and weight. It also generates too much stress on the long head of the biceps. And the second goal, as I said before, is to be able to participate in some competition. And I know I will never win against athletes smaller than me, but I don't care. But it will be great if weighted categories were introduced, because they will allow many more people to approach the world of calisthenics and make this sport more competitive. It's always my opinion.
Yeah. Like, if somebody listens to this and he has the same opinion, we can start a petition. So like, weight categories are established, because I can definitely relate to that and
Yeah, it will be a
understand.
dream.
Yeah, and like as you said, like you receive messages, we receive messages from tall athletes who feel a little bit discouraged or excluded from the calisthenics world. So it would definitely be an interesting step. That's true. And on the other hand, it would be insane to see you competing, I don't know, at Burning Gate and like against all the like normal athletes, I would say, like just being the tallest, which would motivate a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, it will be fun. It will
Yeah.
be really fun.
Nice. We're slowly coming to an end of the interview. We still have some quick questions, quick answers at the end. You already answered the first one. What do you prefer, pizza or burger?
Burger.
Even as an Italian, like you
Yeah.
say burger. Are you a dog or a cat person?
Absolutely a dog person.
Okay,
Yeah.
do you own a dog?
Yeah, a big one. It's
Wow.
a Corso dog. The breed is a Corso. It's an Italian breed. It's 54 kilos.
Wow.
Yeah, it's huge. It's like a Black Panther.
Wow. Wow. And you're probably the only person in Italy who can hold the dog and who can like who is able to hold
I
it.
bring it. Yeah.
Nice. Do you have a favorite location for holidays?
Yeah, Greece for now.
For the because of the Greek yogurt.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, what are the athletes that inspire you in your workouts?
Emanuele Maielli, the Italian champion,
Yes.
Scarlux, and Caruso.
Wow.
I think they are the strongest.
The Italian statics legends. Nice. Yeah, do you have a favorite book?
Yeah, I had one. It's called the it's named The Last Horizon of written by Amedeo Balbi. Amedeo Balbi is a famous Italian astrophysicist, and the book provides a sort of synthesis of modern cosmology, describing both the results achieved and the limits encountered in the cognitive investigation of the universe addressed with the methods of empirical science. Yeah.
Wow. That sounds like really scientific. Let's
Nerd.
call it.
Nerd.
No, I
Nerd.
didn't say nerd. I said scientific. Good. Yeah, you already wear it on your t-shirt maybe, but what's your favorite music? What are your favorite bands?
Genre is middle. I'm a middle head, definitely. My favorite band, I don't know, maybe Rammstein or Slipknot
Nice.
or Five Finger Death Punch. I don't know. I like them all.
Cool.
So the Rammstein are different because they are industrial metal and they are the only one in the world. And they are amazing.
Awesome. Great. So yeah, like if you listen to Rammstein, we can maybe do the next interview in German, because you'll
I don't know. I don't think so.
Nice.
Maybe one day.
Yeah, one day. We can go on a Rammstein concert then.
Yeah, for
Yeah.
sure.
Cool. Yeah, the best calisthenics event you've ever visited. Have you like do you visit some events
Yeah,
sometimes?
it's funny, but I've never been to an event
Oh.
in my life because during summer events, I've always had university exams and I didn't have any time. Yeah, I know.
Okay, so that's also a goal which is in the future.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, the fa your favorite skill.
Full planche press
Full
or
planche
full
press.
planche push-ups. That's
Cool. And the last question, your message to the calisthenics community. What do you want to tell the listeners?
Calisthenics, I think this is a fantastic sport, even if it's very stressful on a physical and mental level, but it can be very rewarding. So don't listen to anyone who tells you you cannot do it. Only you are your own judges. Yeah, it sounds good.
Sounds perfect. Sounds great. Yeah. Awesome. Jack, where do the people find you? We will put all the links in the description. You have YouTube, you have Instagram.
Yeah, people can find me on Instagram, on jack.vinati, or YouTube is Jack Vinati. Also, me and a friend of mine, White, Chao White, created an Instagram page 2 years ago called Bar Giants, which brings together all the best calisthenics athletes in the world that are taller than 1.85 meters. We decided to create this page because no one else has ever done it. And we wanted to show to the world that there are also tall people who can do calisthenics skills, weighted or acrobatics one. So if you're taller than 1.85 meters and you want to send us a video, just take a look at the page on Instagram.
Wow. That's really cool. I really love that you also use your time to inspire more people, not only with your performances, but also like sharing and giving the possibility to give other tall athletes the possibility to shine and to be seen. That's cool. Yeah.
And that's it. I just want to say hello to all the guys of the page, of the group. Ciao ragazzi. And to my coach, ciao Alex.
That's really cool. So we're slowly coming to an end. Jack, I'm so thankful that you took the time to do this interview, that you shared all your experience that was hard, like connected with hard work, with a lot of coaching, with a lot of mental barriers broken. So thanks a lot for your time. And before you can end the episode, I want to quickly say thank you to everyone listening to this till the end. It's been a long interview again. I'm extremely happy for everyone listening to this. For a whole hour. And I think this interview was definitely interesting, definitely a special one as the 50th episode. So if you liked it, give it a thumbs up. And Jack, you can end the episode. And again, thanks a lot.
No, it was a pleasure for me.